Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in, off and running, another hour together here on Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by. We are getting ready for a big night across the sports landscape here as we've got divisional baseball, National League Championship, in fact, here. The all-important Game 3 with the Dodgers and the Mets. That'll take center stage. Coming up top of the hour, we had just mentioned that we still have a WNBA championship going on here. Another Game 3 here tonight between the Liberty and the Lynx. You mix in a little college football here tonight, Conference USA action. And we have got a loaded evening ahead of us. Also, of course, some NHL as the pucks are flying as we are off and running into the 24-25 season. Don't look now, but the Florida Panthers, once again, the champs, seem to be handling their business. So far, so good for them. Also, so far, so good. A couple of stories here in the NCAA in football that I think have really taken some people by surprise, and I was certainly one of them because I did not see this team being as good. There is a great Big Ten battle coming up this weekend between two teams that I don't think a lot of people gave credit to or thought were going to be as good as they are. And I know nobody thought the Indiana Hoosiers. You think Indiana Hoosiers, you do not think college football. But yes, you should start thinking of Indiana as college football, not Mike Woodson, not college hoops. Why? Because they're undefeated right now in Big Ten play, and they are taking on another team in Nebraska that has been just laughingstock over the last decade plus until Matt Rhule got there a year ago. And Matt Rhule is known as a guy that really turns programs around. He did it at Baylor. He did it at Rutgers. Couldn't do it in Carolina, but then again, nobody's doing it at Carolina in the NFL. However, here at Nebraska, they are sitting pretty with just one loss on the season. And they have been, both of these teams have been absolute cash cows. And I mean, they are great against the number. But Indiana, to come in and to do what they have done, we're talking about an Indiana team that has no problem dropping 40-plus points a game on teams. This is not something anybody thought was going to be possible. But here we are heading into the sixth game of the year. They are 5-0. They are at home. They've had a week, an extra week to prepare, just like Nebraska is. And they have an opportunity to go 6-0 on the year. And of course, I think at that point, you can pretty much write your ticket and pencil Indiana as an opportunity to play for a Big Ten championship. And if you look at some of these odds in the Big Ten right now, obviously everyone's going to be looking at Ohio State and Oregon. We just saw these two teams battle down to the wire, and it was a coin flip. But as you can see, Indiana, plus 2,200. You mix in Penn State there, but who of us really trust Penn State? I can tell you right now, Indiana, because of the side of the on the conference that they're in, Indiana at 6-0 could very well, looking at the rest of their schedule, they got Nebraska, they've got Washington, they've got Michigan State, they've got Michigan, and then, of course, Ohio State by the time we get to end of November. This is a team that is going to get to a championship game in the Big Ten. And if they beat Nebraska, which, quite honestly, we're talking about 6.5 right now, 7. They're laying 6.5, 7 against this Nebraska team, who I like. I love Matt Rhule. They're a good defensive team. They've got the quarterback that they're going to have for the next 4 years in Raiola, whose father ended up playing for Nebraska, but he was one of the top two quarterbacks in the country coming out of high school, and he chose Nebraska and Matt Rhule, and I think the ceiling for this kid is going to be tremendous, except for the fact that he looked absolutely miserable last week against a Rutgers defense at home, by the way. He was at home, and Rutgers was all in his face. He did not like the pressure. He was not good. And this is only his second true road start. The first road start, by the way, was against a terrible Purdue defense in which, again, he looked really bad in that game. The defense ended up taking that game over, but it wasn't as if he lit up that terrible defense there at Purdue. So now this is only going to be his second true road start against a packed Indiana stadium, and they are on fire in Indiana because they are seeing what a difference a year makes. You bring over the former James Madison head coach. He brings over an established quarterback in Rourke, who feels like he's been playing college football for, I don't know, the last decade here, former Ohio QB, very experienced, hitting over 74% of his passes. He's got a 14 touchdown to 2 interception ratio. There is nothing not to like about this Indiana team, except nobody seems to be taking them seriously. Everybody seems to think that, well, you got to take the points with Nebraska here. And I would argue, no, you don't. Nebraska has not scored over 35 points in 2.5 years. In fact, the last time they scored 35 points was against this Indiana team in Lincoln back in 2022. This is not an offense. They don't particularly throw the ball well. They don't particularly run the ball well. They do play defense, but asking a defense to limit this offense that's dropping 40 points a game on people is a big ask. I think they're laying a touchdown for a reason. I love they got a better special teams. They've got a better offense. And the defensive edge certainly goes to the Cornhuskers, but they have not played an offense like this yet. I love Indiana this weekend against Nebraska to win by double digits. And at 22-1 on that board that you guys saw with the odds, there is absolutely, you want to take a flyer on somebody, there is no reason not to take a flyer on Indiana as a possible upending and Big Ten champion. I know everyone's going to look to those big three up there, but do not sleep on Indiana having a chance. And listen, half that bet is going to be just getting to the Big Ten championship. And quite honestly, with this schedule, there is no reason for them not. They can pretty much sign their ticket with a win against Nebraska, guaranteeing that they will have to represent half of the Big Ten and in all likelihood take on Oregon or Ohio State if something crazy happens. I think they're in a good spot here. But this is a game worth watching this week here. If you have not been following Indiana, take a look. It's going to be an awful lot of fun here to watch how this team grows in 1 year. Lot can be said also for the SEC here, because when you look at some of these numbers in the future of the SEC, we've got some new names up there, but Texas and Georgia, well, they're playing this weekend, are they not? And look at some of those numbers. Texas clearly a favorite. Georgia, having already lost to Alabama, makes this interesting, doesn't it? Texas A&M We saw them open up the season losing to Notre Dame. A lot of question marks with that team. LSU can't be trusted. Ole Miss can't be trusted. So really, this is...
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's essential prenatal multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Texas's opportunity to put the stamp on the SEC and say, you wanted us here. Well, we're here now. As Georgia losing to Alabama, Alabama losing to Vandy, Texas is the one team left standing where they can put their stamp on this conference, and you can welcome the Longhorns to the SEC in a big, big way. Now would be the time to back them to win the SEC, because you ain't getting that if they beat Georgia this weekend. More on that coming up here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game time decisions as we right smack in the middle of October here, smack in the middle of the college football season. We're in prime time here when it comes to Major League Baseball, as we're down to the championship series here, Mets, Dodgers, the all-important Game 3 coming up, top of the hour, college football already underway, and we were just talking about a big game coming up this week with the number one team in the country, who also happens to be, well, the favorite to win the SEC. It's kind of hard to believe, and nobody knows that conference better than our good friend Mark Zinno here. And Zin, I was just saying, listen, this is the number for Texas right now. There is a plus sign price-wise for them to win the SEC. I don't even want to say if. When they beat Georgia this weekend, I don't know that you're ever getting them in a plus thing to win the SEC, much less anything else here. How much faith do you have that Texas, I mean, welcome to the SEC. Is it Texas's to lose?
I think so. I mean, look, clearly Georgia and Alabama are not what we're used to seeing, right? They're just not, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, this is a Georgia defense that just gave up 31 to Mississippi State, which is one of the worst offenses in the country.
Oof.
So, I mean, it's one game, and I'm not going to sit here and write Georgia off because they are a very reputable team, and they deserve all the clout that they get. I'm not saying that they're going to get blown out in this game, but – this is just not a Georgia team that I don't think can keep up with Texas on offense, and they can't keep up with them on defense. I mean, it'll be close, but again, like I have a hard time believing that a Georgia defense that gave up 34 to Jalen Milroe and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And then last week gave up 31 to a bad Mississippi State team, is going to have a easy time with the number one offense in the country. Like, yep. I mean, you don't have to really overthink this that much to know that for Georgia to go on the road in a place like Texas, in Austin, and win the game, very, very difficult. It's just, you know, it's not, you know, one of those things where I believe that they have the horses in the barn to do it. Steve Sarkisian knows Georgia. He knows the way Kirby Smart, you know, runs the game because, again, he coached at Alabama. And this is a Texas team that, you know, for me is the best offense in the country. I mean, all respect to Miami and everything, but they're playing a lot of different teams than what Texas is dealing with. Still, top 10 in every major category, right? Total offense, points per game. You know, they just have too much. And if you're asking me to match quarterback to quarterback, I think Ewers is the better one between the two of them. Now, Ewers is more of a pocket passer. For whatever reason, if Arch Manning gets in there, you know, the legs start to become a little bit more of an issue. But as you're seeing, this number, which opened up at 3, 3.5, is now continuing to move north in favor of Texas. Now, we start to continue to see this number rise. We're seeing 4.5s and 5 out there. Yeah, guess what? You know, there's going to be some buyback on Georgia on Saturday because this thing can't get to 6. Like, it can't get that high. Once we're getting, you know, past 4, we're in dangerous territory because it could be a field goal game. I just don't think Georgia's going to win it.
Yeah, it's so interesting, too, because when you look, the numbers look gaudy for Texas, but you got Georgia sitting at 5-1. They're on an 0-5 ATS run, by the way. This is the first time, and you know this, and it's the first time they're a dog since 2021, and that was the opener against Clemson. But they've already played Bama. They've played Clemson. I mean, Georgia's schedule seems much tougher than anything Texas has had to face. And Kirby Smart, we know, in this spot has been pretty profitable to back. But you just don't think they have the horses this year in order to be able to take down what should be the best offense in the country.
Yeah, and not only that, excuse me, I mean, Oklahoma just throttled an OU team that is a top 20 defense in the country. I mean, you know, Oklahoma's offense got a lot of problems, but this is an Oklahoma defense that's really good. And when it comes down to it, you know, this Texas offense looks unstoppable at this point in time. And again, total defense, number one total defense in the country. And you could say they didn't play anybody, and those numbers are a little bit, you know, difficult to understand. We went through the same exercise years ago with Georgia, when Georgia would have the number one defense in the country, and they didn't really play anybody, and they turned out, guess what, they're still really good no matter who they play. So they've got to deal with it on both sides of the ball. I don't know that Georgia stacks up very well against them. And in particular, where are the Georgia receivers? Again, Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey in the NFL, and that receiving core for Georgia makes Carson Beck a little bit more, you know, human, if you will. So there's not that guy that you can rely on 3rd and 6 to go get me a first down. There's not that running game that's there. Texas only gives up 2.9 yards per carry on the ground. You know, I mean, this is – they know how to beat you multiple ways, and they have the people to do it. Again, I'm not saying Georgia's going to get outclassed here. I just don't think they're going to win.
Yeah, it's – the SEC is going to be a very interesting race. If Georgia is to win – and Tennessee is to beat Alabama. Do you trust Alabama out of the SEC? This is a huge game, but Tennessee can't score all of a sudden when they play everybody else they play, they can score. They can't score against SEC defenses here. That's a problem even against Alabama, isn't it?
I don't know what, I mean, listen, you know, if you want to chalk it up to Tennessee, you know, playing Florida and what the game means and how much of a rivalry it is, that it was an overtime game that Tennessee won, fine. I can listen to that. If you want to sit here and tell me that Arkansas, you know, going to Arkansas, which LSU is going to have a real problem doing this week, you know, and only scoring 14 points there, you know, even Oklahoma, the aforementioned Oklahoma with a great defense, held Tennessee to 25. They've got to get a get-right spot. I don't know that this is the spot to do it against Alabama, but it sure feels like. Because if South Carolina can push them to the limit and Vanderbilt can put up 35, Tennessee's defense feels like it's primed for a breakout in this spot. I mean, you know, it kind of feels like I would play Tennessee's team total over in the hopes that Alabama continues to push them and score and look at it from that angle. I think Tennessee wins this game. The last time Alabama went into Knoxville and Neyland Stadium, guess what? Didn't work out that well for them then. And Nick Saban was coaching that team. So I don't think they're going to do it again this year.
back-to-back games without a point in the first half. Mind-numbing what happened there over the last couple of weeks to Tennessee. But we saw Alabama lose to Vandy and almost lose again to South Carolina. They almost lost that Vandy game twice.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So, lots still to be determined in the SEC this week, and it should be some really good games. We got plenty going on, of course, in Major League Baseball. We'll talk to Mark next, get his thoughts on the big game tonight. Game 3, Mets-Dodgers. We'll do that next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back in game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we get ready for a big night in sports. Here we got a college game already underway. Conference USA, Western Kentucky taking on Sam Houston State. Western Kentucky with a quick touchdown to take an early lead there. We got one coming up 9 o'clock with FIU taking on UTEP. But all eyes, top of the hour, are going to be on Major League Baseball and preferably the Mets and the Dodgers because, well, Zinn, we all know. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Series tied at one game apiece. That game 3, whoever wins it goes on over 70% of the time to win the series. It's that important, this game. And Severino and Buehler, Severino hasn't pitched in 9 days. In 9 days, what the hell are we going to get from him? I still don't know what we're going to get from Buehler. It's such a head-scratcher, this one.
I mean, I played the over 7.5. I mean, we know what Walker Buehler is bad, right? Like, it's not going to go well. And so the Mets should be able to get off him. Now, Severino is an interesting case here because he's got a great ERA at home, a 2.96 ERA. He's been home, you know, he's been very good at home all year long. The long rest seems to affect pitchers their first time out in the postseason. I mean, look at what happened to Gerrit Cole when he pitched the first time against Kansas City. And then on normal rest, what did he do in game 3? He was lights out. Severino hasn't faced the Dodgers yet this year. So, you know, I'd give the advantage to the pitcher in that spot, but there's enough of a book on Severino. This is a really professional lineup, at least the top half of it with the Dodgers, that they're going to get through. Here's the real key for Severino. Opponents are batting 196 against him the first time through the order. If he gets through the order first time unscathed, the Mets are going to be in a great position. And that's really what you're banking on. Like, I played Mets first 5 money line as well. I'm banking that he can get through the order one time, and then he'll start to get touched up. Now, the Dodgers have the bullpen advantage, and the problem for the Mets with their bullpen, which has been very good in this series throughout the Brewers and the Phillies, at some point, like, that bullpen might regress to what it was all year long, which was average. It wasn't terrible, but it was average. And again, this is a really good lineup here. The Mets have no choice but to get to Walker Buehler. If Walker Buehler is still pitching in this game with 5 innings and the Mets only have 1 run, they're in deep, you know what. I mean, it's just not going to end up well because the momentum and leverage switches to the Dodgers once they get to their bullpen. So I think when you look at the scenario here, the scoring should come early for both teams. If both teams knock starters out early on in this game, like before the 5th inning, then, you know, I feel confident that the over is going to hit. I'm not sure where I would ever see a 7.5 with Walker Buehler sitting on the mound as a total in the game. So it seemed too easy for me to pass up, and maybe I took the bait and I'll end up on the wrong side of this thing. But, you know, if the Mets get to Buehler, the Dodgers getting 9 at-bats against this Mets pitching staff still makes me believe like the over is in play.
Yeah, and again, I this is such a slippery slope for the Dodgers because you've already had to use bullpen after bullpen after bullpen. And while you don't have, you know, your high leverage guys, the back end of the bullpen, they're well rested, but you got to get to them, right? What happens if Buehler gets knocked around early? It's like, what, at some point you win the battle, you're going to lose the war here, Zinn, aren't you?
I said the same thing about the Guardians and even the Yankees to a certain extent when they're playing the Royals, and, you know, the Dodgers is the same thing. Your effective bullpen is a little less effective when they're not pitching with a lead. That's just the reality of it. Like, sure, outs are nice, but if you don't have a lead, it doesn't matter, because all you're sitting back is waiting for your team that's trailing to bop a home run or the other team to make a mistake, like the Guardians have been kicking the ball all over the place and throwing wild pitches. So, you know, it's about maximizing your opportunities at runners in scoring position. But if the Dodgers don't have a lead in this game, their bullpen sort of gets, you know, it loses a little bit of luster because, again, if the Mets pitching is that good and Severino is that good, well, you know, sure, you can get the guys out, but you got to score runs first.
Yeah, it's exactly. It doesn't do any good to have Class A coming in if you're losing 6-3 in the eighth inning. So it doesn't do you any good there. Speaking of which, Yankees obviously could not have gone any better for them. Up 2-0, heading to Progressive. You got to like their chances from where they're sitting. But most importantly, looks like Judge finally got into the game yesterday there with that home run to put it away. I don't think it's over, but I do think that the Yankees is sitting exactly where they want to be. Does it go 5, 6? How many, Zen?
Look, the Guardians have kind of handed the Yankees the first two games. Look, this is a team right now that is 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position through two games. Whew. You can't win at that rate. You just can't. The Yankees have had plenty of opportunities to blow these games open, and they're not doing it. And it's a problem. If the Guardians stop making errors and stop shooting themselves in the foot, then they're going to be back in this series pretty quick, I think.
All important, game 3 tomorrow. Zinn, appreciate it. Enjoy the games. Game time decision. We'll be back after this on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on this Wednesday in the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Joined by our good friend Brady Cannon, ready to roll here as we got a lot going on. Brady, in addition to, of course, college football, NFL, Major League Baseball, still cruising, looking for a World Series champion over the next couple of weeks. But we can't forget, too, the PGA Tour heading to your neck of the woods for the Shriners Children's Open. In fact, is it Summerlin is where it is? And actually, I'm looking at this. I mean, when you look at some of the names on this board here, this is not the has-beens or never was. Some big names on this board this week. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, a little bit better, Joe, than what we've seen out of the gate for this fall FedEx Cup series. You know, Vegas attracts some stars for sure, and there's a few in this field. Tom Kim trying to go for a three-peat. He's won the last two in a row here. And you're right, TPC Summerlin, the west side of town, not too far from my house. I've played this course a number of times. Big wide fairways and big greens, but you'll find that the guys who win this tournament are typically specialists in driving accuracy. So, you know, I've been out there and I'm like, oh, you got this big wide fairway. It looks beautiful and simple. And then you find yourself in the fairway, but you're at a bad angle. And so the accuracy comes into play in finding the right spot in the fairway, that garden spot in the fairway to give you that good approach. And if you find that all week, you're going to go low. This has been a birdie fest. Now, the fly in the ointment, and it happened in 2017. Patrick Cantlay won here with a winning score of 9 under par. There are some pretty serious winds in the forecast for tomorrow, Thursday, kicking up in the afternoon. And then I think kind of throughout the day on Friday, it's been a really interesting tournament from a bettor's perspective, because a lot of guys are just blindly running to the window and playing guys that are teeing off early on Thursday. The wind is not supposed to kick up until the afternoon on Thursday. So the guys that tee off in the morning wave on Thursday appear to have an advantage. Now, they will, of course, tee off late on Friday. The initial forecast was that these winds were going to die down on Friday afternoon. I've been here for 30 years, Joe. It's supposed to blow 35 miles an hour on Friday. I don't see that wind all of a sudden dying down in the afternoon. So I think at one point or another, no matter when you tee off, you're going to catch some wind. These first 2 days ought to be very interesting. Like I say, a lot of bettors are really, you know, buying on some draw bias here, that the early late draw is going to be really advantageous. I'm not so sure it's going to be a perfect fit, but we'll see.
So what in years past, I'm guessing, and it, I guess really depends on the win. And I know you had a you wrote a great article on this, and which kind of spells it out. But does that mean we're getting less than 20 under as a winner? Is it going to be 20 under? It's usually right around that 18, 19, 20, somewhere in that ballpark there.
Yeah, if you look at the last 8 years, the average score for the winner has been better than 22 under par. It is one of the easier courses they play on tour. But with these elements, now the weekend is supposed to be okay. Saturday, maybe 15 miles an hour wind. Sunday is supposed to be dead calm. But Thursday and Friday are very interesting. And our friend Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate Superbook, he hung the number under or over 14 and a half under par. So that's like six strokes below average. He's definitely figuring on some wind coming into play here. Going to be interesting. Looks like it'll be okay tomorrow morning, but then it kicks up in the afternoon. And when it ends is the big question mark. Will you have an advantage playing the guy? I think you're better off playing guys that tee off early. They probably have a slight advantage, but just how much of an advantage? Do you want to throw all your eggs in that basket? That's what I'm unsure of.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense. These guys are pros and know what to expect here after all. But I don't see any. Well, who's the chalk here? Tom Kim, I'm guessing. But I don't see him on your list here. What are we looking at here for this tournament?
Yeah, I did not play Tom Kim. He's about 15 to 1 or so. He certainly is the chalk here this week. I went with Bo Hostler, who unfortunately is a very popular pick, I came to find out. But it's not surprising. He just lost in a playoff a couple weeks ago. He was 11th last week in Utah. He finished 7th here last year. You know, he's a birdie fest type of guy. He putts well. And, you know, like I say, he's got course history here. And he's in good form. So it's understandable that he's popular. I got him at 31 to 1. Cam Davis, one of the best players in this field, like Tom Kim. By the way, Bo Hostler, University of Texas product, he knows how to play in wind. So does Cam Davis. He's Australian. Australians are brilliant in the wind. Cam Davis has won twice at one of our correlated courses, the Detroit Golf Club, where he has won two times at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. So he finished also 7th here last year. I think he makes some sense. Adam Hadwin at 41 to 1. This guy's a machine around here. He's had 5 top 10s at TPC Summerlin and was runner-up last year. Another desert course that I used as a comparable, the American Express down in La Quinta. Adam Hadwin has finished top 6 there 4 times, including 2 runner-ups. And oh, by the way, he lost in a playoff at the Rocket Mortgage as well. So he seems to fit, you know, the correlations here. Harry Hall, UNLV running rebel. I was on him last week in Utah. He did pretty well. And then he kind of unraveled on Sunday. He's played this course 100 times. He knows how to navigate the wind. Tremendous putter, makes a ton of birdies. Got him at 44 to 1. And oh, yeah, he does tee off early on Thursday. And then Patton Kizzire, who won a few weeks ago in Napa, on a roll right now, followed that up with an 11th place finish at the Sanderson Farms. And he also has finished runner-up here at Summerlin and 4th place before. And then finally, Lee Hodges, a long bomb at 100 to 1 here. And I've seen his number down as low as 70 or 60 to 1. And again, I think this is that reaction that bettors are having to guys teeing off early on Thursday. Hodges is one of them, but I like the guy. His driving accuracy is off the charts. He finished 8th last week in Utah. So I think there are other reasons, just besides the fact that he's teeing off early, to take a stab with Lee Hodges.
I love this card. Nothing, boy, it's nice to see double digits and even a triple digit every now and then, Brady, in a tournament right in your neck of the woods. So looking forward to this one going on. Looking forward, of course, to the NFL this week. You got any games that you've circled early here that you like more than the rest?
Yeah, you know, I do my exercise of making my own lines and then compare them to the lines that came out. And I came up with the Lions. I have them, you know, closer to a pick'em than what the number is. The Commanders, I have a lot, you know, higher point spread than what they're dealing. Same with the Packers. And then the Patriots, I think that's too many. I mean, are the Jag? I know they're the London specialist. Well, how'd that work out last week? You know, so I'm not sold on Jacksonville. But the one that is so interesting, Joe, last week we talked about Denver and Washington being public dogs. And something, you know, smelled funny about those lines. Something smells funny about the Jets being a road favorite at Pittsburgh, doesn't it?
Oof. I can't, Brady. Like, in no way.
You got to go where the stink is. If you went to where the stink was last week, you won.
Please tell me why Russell Wilson is in the conversation to start for the Steelers. Why? What am I missing here, Brady?
I don't know, man. And maybe this is all smoke and mirrors, but it feels like it's not. You know, if he's setting up New York to prepare. But, you know, the other thing is Justin Fields is kind of like what Russell Wilson used to be. He can really use his legs, you know.
Right.
So is he trying to fool the Jets to prepare for a pocket passer versus a guy that's mobile? I don't know.
Yep.
I mean, I give Tomlin a lot of credit. I think he's a great coach, but we'll see. He could be making a big mistake here, in my opinion.
He hasn't turned the ball over like we were expecting him to. He still gives you, I think, the best advantage. It's a little head scratching.
We saw him lose his legs finally last week, and that just killed the Raiders.
It doesn't make any sense. Brady Cannon, always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy the golf. We'll talk to you again. GTD will be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network on this Wednesday as we are getting ready. Top of the hour. A little in-game live will be coming your way. Of course, they'll have the first pitch as the New York Mets at home trying to take a big 2-1 lead over the Dodgers. And that, I think, is going to be one of the better games that we are going to see in the postseason. It is really put up or shut up time for both of these teams. Both have glaring issues when it comes to the rotation. Both teams certainly have the firepower to be able to put runs up in a big way. And we talked to Mark Zinno a little bit earlier this hour, and I'm on the same page with him where I do think runs are coming in this game here. And I think we'd be crazy to think that Walker Buehler and Severino hasn't pitched in 9 days is somehow going to be able to keep the Dodgers hitters where they need to be. Now, Walker Buehler with nearly a 7 road ERA, not great. Severino has been very good at Citi Field, but again, it's that whole haven't pitched since in 9 days kind of thing that worries me here a little bit. This should be fun. I think this is going to be the first two games went over the total. These two teams have played, I believe, what, three times in New York this year. Two of the three went under the total, and that was in much warmer weather. Both teams kind of hitting similar in the postseason. To me, this is, I just don't trust the pitching. I know it's cold. Maybe Scotty Wetzel can help us put us in the right direction in this game here tonight. It just feels expecting Walker Buehler and Severino to keep runs off the board is a big ask, Scotty, isn't it?
Oh, it really is, Joe. I mean, 7.5. I can't believe, you know, I put it in last night thinking, all right, the boys in Vegas made a mistake, and this is going to go to 8 by the time I wake up this morning, right? And it's still 7.5. I don't get it. I love the Mets team total in particular. Severino, all right, you know, maybe he could throw out a bunch of shutout, innings. I still don't trust the Mets bullpen, but okay, I could see that. But I don't know how the Mets aren't getting 4 runs against Walker Buehler. He's been nothing short of mediocre. Not horrible, but mediocre this entire season, Joe. You know, last time against San Diego, gave up, what, 6 runs in 4 innings? He's gotten kind of back and forth, good outings, bad outings, but overall mediocre. So team total Mets 3.5 at home, the way they're hitting. I know it's cold here in New York, but it's not like freezing, you know. I've seen plenty of high run games, and I'm not even asking for a lot of runs, just, you know, 4, or if you go with the team total, you know, or the game total 8. So, yeah, it almost looks too easy, I must say, Joe. It does almost look too easy.
Now, you're in New York. They say the weather, there's some wind. It's colder. I think temperatures in the upper 40s. But the wind, is it that significant? And quite honestly, I don't need home runs to get over 7.5 runs, though, do I?
No, you don't. And no, it's not that bad, Joe. You know, even upper 40 sounds like, okay, that's freezing, right? Yeah, compared to summertime, it's cold. But is it like, you know, you bundled up with mittens and gloves and a parka on? They're like, no. You know, the players probably have an extra shirt on underneath. You know, but when they're out there playing, you know, upper 40s is really not that big a deal. A lot of blowing on a hand, that type of thing. But that actually seemingly hurts the pitcher more than it does the batters, because the batters, you know, they're batting. You know, but the pitcher, he's the one that can't grip the baseball, is blowing on his hands 50,000 times. So I think it's an advantage in cold weather for the batters versus the pitchers.
Unreal. Mets 15-3 in their last 18 at Citi Field. If you like the over, what about the team totals here? Are we looking at overs in there as well, Scotty?
Yeah, like I said, I think, you know, if you wanted to, you know, pick one side that wouldn't come through for us and a team win 6-1, to me it would be the Mets winning 6-1 and, you know, the Dodger bat's not coming through, although I don't really think that's going to be the case. But if I had to pick one, that would be it. So that's why I like the Mets a little bit more than I do the Dodgers. So I'm going to go Mets over, team total 3.5. Then we're going to use Lindor. You know, he's the leadoff hitter. He's going to get up 4 or 5 times, right? He's had a run, believe it or not, in the postseason, 6 out of the 9 Met postseason games. He's been on base in all 9 games, whether it's walk, error, whatever the case may be. So he's getting on base. He's going to have an opportunity to score some runs. And it's only minus 125 Lindor to score a run. I like that one a lot. And then, as you saw there, I like the Buehler under 4.5 strikeouts. Even if he's on, Joe, he's not a big-time strikeout pitcher this year. 17 starts, he's only had 5 strikeouts in 5 of them. 5 and 12. Yeah. And you know he's got a quick hook tonight. So unless something crazy happens, I don't think he's getting 5 strikeouts at all. Little juice when I put it in earlier today. Minus 160 and change, but I don't think he's getting 5 strikeouts tonight.
Yeah, no, I don't even think he's getting 14.5 outs, to tell you the truth. But they might leave him in there. What the hell? I mean, you got to use this bullpen for a 7-game series, so it's going to be interesting to see how Dave Roberts manages from this point forward here. But that game coming up top of the hour, you know, let's not forget, we still have another championship game going on in the WNBA. Boy, the Liberty did not take kindly to losing that game one, did they? Because they came back in a big way. What happens in game 3 in the best of 5 here, knotted up 1 apiece?
I'm not sure. The Minnesota's had New York's number, Joe. They've beaten them in five of the seven meetings this year. They've owned them. So, you know, that fluky, it wasn't a fluky win, them coming back game one. But they lay an egg, as we see a lot of NBA teams do, right? The surprise team on the road wins games one. What happens in game two? They're all giddy. They play lousy. And that's what Minnesota did game two. I think they respond. I think it's a high-scoring game. 160.5. I saw it drop to 159.5, but it's back up to 160.5 on FanDuel. They've seven out of their last nine meetings, they've had 161 points. I love, more than any side, I love the over in this one.
Oh, getting some points up and all. I even went first quarter over, Scotty, because that's how.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What crazy go. We are. I'm on FIU against UTEP tonight. You?
Got to do it, right? UTEP 0-6, 1-5 against the spread. I mean, they are horrible, Joe. Give me FIU laying the touchdown.
Yeah, Dave Sherapin's got a better chance of scoring a touchdown than UTEP. Scotty, we appreciate it. We'll close it out next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here as we look to close out this edition. In-game live straight ahead here, top of the hour. They will have everything you need in order to follow along with the National League Championship Series. Dodgers taking on the Mets. First pitch coming up here in about 10 minutes. Scotty Wetzel, Dave Sherapin, they'll have you covered. Also, a couple of college football games tonight. One underway already. They're in the second quarter. And Western Kentucky and Sam Houston knotted up 7 apiece. Thought we'd get a little more scoring than that in this one, but Western Kentucky scored early. Sam Houston was able to get it tied up here early in the second quarter, and they've got about 13 minutes left to go before the break. We were just talking Florida International, FIU, on the road, taking on UTEP, a UTEP team that is just not very good. This line opened up -4 earlier in the week. It's been bet up to a touchdown now. And FIU, we were right here in this seat a week ago telling you we love them against Liberty, catching almost 2 touchdowns. And boy, oh boy, they almost won the game outright. They lost a heartbreaker in overtime. Now they have an opportunity to get another W here on the season against the team they should have no problem beating. And I think they beat them rather easily here. So FIU over UTEP, that's coming up 9:00 Eastern time. We also have, don't forget, the WNBA Championship Game 3 coming your way here tonight as the Minnesota Lynx is going to try to get one back against the New York Liberty, who did not like losing that first game of the series here, of the championship. But boy, oh boy, they got back in a big way in game two. We just talked to Scotty Wetzel. He, too, likes the over. I love the first half over, first quarter over, as these two teams have already played in the first two games, scoring 51 and 52 points in the first quarters of game one and game two. I've got no problem expecting more of the same here in game three. Don't be shocked if it is another high-scoring affair here. And then, of course, don't forget, we've got plenty going on tomorrow night as the New York Yankees are going to be looking forward to hopefully taking a commanding 3-0 lead over the Guardians. They handled their business last night, getting it done against the Guardians and their ace, Tanner Beebe. And, well, they got it done. They got it done early and often. Gerrit Cole handled his business, but the bullpen of the Yankees has had a lot of success here against this Guardians team, but they are a different hitting team at Progressive Field. They have been all year long. They've been one of the most profitable teams at home this season. They are going to need to figure out the bats sooner rather than later if they are going to get themselves back into this series, and they'll have an opportunity to do that tomorrow night. But the Yankees getting exactly the kind of production they were hoping they were going to get from not only Juan Soto, but again, the big news last night was it was so good to see Aaron Judge get a home run there and kind of put the game out of reach here. So I believe the Guardians, they did have the not only the American League, but the Major League record, best home record during the season. Matthew Boyd has been really good, the lefty that has given Yankees all sorts of issues. The Yankees were under 500 this year versus lefties. So, and ironically enough, the Guardians need to play from in front. Emmanuel Clase hasn't even pitched in this series because they're not even close to having the lead late in games. And that is how you limit a bullpen that, like the Guardians have had, is by making sure there's really no reason to use them because you're not in the games in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, and they have not been in the games in the sixth, in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings in these first two. So I do think maybe the Guardians early in a first five situation is not a bad look in that game tomorrow night. Keep an eye on that, but get ready for that all-important game three here, knotted up one game apiece. The Dodgers and the Mets are coming up here. Severino versus Walker Buehler, the over for me here tonight, 7.5. And don't be shocked if those Dodger bats come out swinging and swinging quickly. In-game live coming your way next here on the grid. We'll see you again tomorrow for Game Time Decisions.